Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As of right now, we are at war.
How desperate do you call on such lost creatures to defend you?
How desperate am I? You threaten my world with war. You steal a force you can't hope to control. You talk about peace and you kill because it's fun. You have made me very desperate. You might not be glad that you did. There was an idea to bring together a group of remarkable people, see if they can become something more.
Welcome to Fury's Finest, a podcast about Marvel Crisis Protocol and the Marvel Universe. My name is Jesse Aiken. I'm joined by my co-host, Chris Ruffett. How are we doing today, Chris?
Well, Jesse, it's almost time for us to have mutants in our hands, so I'm pretty happy.
Absolutely same. Yeah, we're very excited about this wave for numerous reasons. And it's exciting to talk about this wave today for the first time in full on the podcast. Of course, if you're looking for our reactions and our discussions about Shadow King and Nightcrawler and Kitty Pryde, Shadow Cat in particular, go back a little bit, listen to our mini stravaganza deep dives, right, where we covered every single card reveal in that, including things like Nightcrawler and his amazing tactic card, which I'm very excited about, Mass Transit, where he gets to move a bunch of people up the map and then he gets a stagger, right?
I'm very, very excited for Nightcrawler in this game.
Yeah, I say that because we're not going to cover him today. So if you want to hear our thoughts on that stuff, definitely check that out. This is a news update, but it's a news update picking up since Mini Stravaganza. So we're picking up on everything that we've missed since Mini Stravaganza, because AMG came back and they started giving us content again to chew on and look at. Perfect timing too, because we're going to have these models in our hands in a month.
It's an exciting time. It feels like the layover is kind of over. You know, I know we got some stuff. Yeah. When was Mini Stravaganza? Feels like it was a year ago.
Right.
But it wasn't. It was just in the fall, right?
Yeah, it's in the fall every year.
I don't know. This holiday season into February tends to be pretty slow with AMG, and that's fine. They deserve a break, and so do we.
Yeah.
But by the end of that break, I'm always excited for the changing of seasons. It's going to be a very exciting, busy time in MCP and not too long. So everybody get braced. Get ready.
Absolutely.
Get your mind right.
You get your mind right before Professor X and Shadow King arrive.
Mind wipes it, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to get all into all this today and return to our format of our news update. But before we do that, we have some people to thank real quick.
Fury's Finest is supported by Mr. Laser. Go to mr-laser.square.site for all of your Marvel Crisis Protocol needs. And while you are there, do me a huge favor. Use the discount code FURY5 for a cool 5% off. It helps us. It helps you. Get your mutants, get your Wakandan pre-orders in. It's going to be a good time.
Absolutely. And I don't know if we say it enough, but our code works on everything on Mr. Laser's website. So if you're getting some MCP and you're also maybe a Shatterpoint player or maybe a player of a different game system, you can throw that stuff in your cart as well. And our code will work on that. So Mr. Laser has been gracious enough to give us not only this Fury 5 on MCP and like card sleeves and stuff, but just everything he carries. So it means
pretty
a lot
incredible.
To use the code. Yeah, pretty incredible. So, and most important is you guys remember to use it and get yourself a discount. But speaking of discounts, iWarGame makes the best mats for MCP in the business. We highly recommend checking them out at iWarGame.net. Use the code FFPODCAST to get 10% off all of your orders of mats, which I think is incredible. And shout out to iWarGame while we're here. iWarGame played at LVO, got best X-Men player at the event. So
well done.
My heart
well
is happy.
Well done. We're very proud of you.
Absolutely. So shout out to En Young for doing well. And go support them these two sponsors mean a lot to us, and we use them every game night, that being Mr. Laser and iWarGame, and we want you to use them as well. So please check out their website and let them know we sent you by using our codes, and it means a lot. Most importantly of all, our patrons support Furious Finest at patreon.com/furiousfinest. If you enjoy our show and would like access to our private Discord community, consider supporting us at one of the tiers. We take this time to thank all of our patrons for their support. We've got a new big year coming. We've got a lot of goals for this year. We think we might be able to meet some of these goals, but we can only do it with you guys' support of the Patreon. So if you've maybe been on the fence over the years, jump on the Patreon. It's totally worth it just for the getting in the Discord alone. And then the fact that you guys directly support everything we do here. Like I said in the last couple episodes, over the last year, we've really continued to improve the production, all the things around the show to make the episodes as best we can. And that's because of the patrons. So you guys have actively helped us pay our subscriptions for software and hosting and all these sorts of things behind the scenes. So it means a lot. And the patrons are still with us. Thank you for doing so. But yeah, we got some goals. We want to make it to some events this year and stuff. And maybe we can do that through the Patreon.
It would be really, really wonderful. And we thank you guys for all the support you've given us thus far.
And speaking of that, we have a patron of the week, Chris. We have someone new to thank, Robert S. Thank you so much, Robert, for becoming a patron.
Thank you, Robert. And as always, we've got to thank the heavy hitters. These are the Avenger-level producers. Rich and Sean, thank you so much, guys.
Thank you guys so much. You help us keep everything running. All right, Chris, let's get into this main content today of our news update. February 2024. Starting right out the gate, the very exciting character coming to Marvel Crisis Protocol. We were excited before I even saw his card. I'm currently in the middle of rereading that Cable run. It's Bishop. It's Lucas Bishop.
The Cable run. Interesting. Not his most good guy-iest of times.
Not at all. Villain Bishop.
Yeah, and that's he's got the chrome dome, got the bald head there. So this version of Bishop we're getting in MCP is clearly the, you know, classic X-Men 92 kind of look, that this early 90s Claremont moving into the Image guys, you know, that's kind of the era most of our mutants are in. So no exceptions here. And I am extremely excited to present to you Bishop. He's got a defensive line of three physical, four energy, and three mystic, six health on his front side, five health on his injured side, size two medium movement on a small base. He is a four threat character. Jesse, I'm liking that four energy defense.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good that he has one of these because he is a four threat. I guess a mark against him is, we'll just talk about how he has five stamina on the back, only giving him 11.
Yeah.
What's weird about this is like a three threat stat line, because, you know, a lot of three threats have like one that's above the curve, right? Think of Baron Zemo, think of Miss Marvel.
Yeah.
You know, think of Red Guardian, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this is like their health pool as well. So I love the energy because, once again, energy is still the least represented defense in the game. So it's nice to see it, but kind of wary about his 11 stamina.
That is one of the first things that popped out to me whenever they revealed this card, was not just the 11 stamina being a little low, but really there's not a lot of defensive tech here. We'll get to it. He's got a little something, a little treat on the defense, but it's not something I would ever personally count on hitting. It's just a kind of cherry on top. Almost feels like a win more or lose a little less mechanic. Not something that's going to swing anything for you. We'll get to that in a second. Let's start as we always do. Let's get into these attacks. Let's start with his first attack. It is an energy attack. XSE Blaster. It is a range 4, strength of 5, power cost of 0. After this attack is resolved, Bishop will gain power equal to the damage dealt. And a second clause here is, after this attack is resolved, if the target character is within range 3 of Bishop, it gains the Incinerate special condition. There's no wild trigger here. The only trigger is being within 3, very similar to Cable's rerolls on his basic attack.
Yeah, this is an insane builder attack.
It's really good. This is
like a mini Cable, because Cable's is range 5. We're down to 4 here, but the guaranteed Incinerate.
So nice.
I mean, Cable's on the Wild is great, but this is almost better in some ways because you just know. If you can get in three, you're going to give Incinerate guaranteed, and then hopefully you build some power with a energy-based builder attack, which, you know, most characters don't like.
Well, you're going to need that power. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, absolutely. And I'll read his next and final attack here, Chris. Return with Interest. It's physical. Area 2, strength of 7, power cost of 5. But is it physical? When this attack is chosen, before choosing a target, this character chooses whether the attack type is physical, energy, or mystic. When the attack is chosen, during the pay power cost step of the attack, so after you paid the 5, Bishop may spend up to additional 3 power, add 1 die to each attack for each power spent this way, so you can, you know, go up to 10 strength if you want to. And then it has a wild trigger of extreme force. After this attack is resolved, this character pushes the target character away short. The target character then gains the slow special condition. So, absolutely amazing spender, absolutely expensive, but the A2 is the key here.
This has a very, very high ceiling.
It's very explosive.
A2 with that 10 dice A2, yeah, it could possibly be. I mean, I always give a best case scenario when we come around to these things. So do not think that this is something you're going to get regularly, but you can get 3 people in this attack. That's 30 attack dice.
Oh yeah. I mean, you could get 4.
You right? could.
Yeah. It's cool too, Chris, that we're seeing a mirroring of Cable in some ways. We went from, you know, the long range blaster and then the Akani-san now to the shorter range blaster to this.
His attack suite is definitely very reminiscent of Cable for sure.
Which thematically makes sense. Right. But it's interesting. I like these pushes.
Of course you do, because the first thing I see is damage potential, and the first thing you see is pushes.
Mm-hmm. I see there's a world where I could, you know, go late in a round with Bishop, mm-hmm. move him to the midline, maybe that researcher, something high impact, right? Researcher in the gamma.
And I mean, it's absolutely a move that could clear off the entire secure and, you know, maybe possibly swing the game, win you the game. This is a high impact late round attack.
Yeah, and let's emphasize too the ability to change the type. Obviously, mm-hmm. you got to commit to that type for the round. So you're gonna look at the enemies you want to get in this and kind of see what's best for you. Certain teams, this will just be an amazing tool if you can get it to work. Where it's like, oh, I see a bunch of web warriors in a group. Okay,
yeah,
Mystic, here we go. Right. So those are best case scenarios, but even worst case scenarios, just be able to choose your type and like mitigate a couple defense dice. You're going to do that every time, right? So, but then there's other scenarios where you're turning off ability. It's like I said, the web warrior thing. A couple of the web warriors are not getting Spidey Sense right against Mystic. Peter, he's mastered it, so forget about that with him. But it's like layers and layers to it. Now, let's get the worst thing out of the way. This costs 5, can cost up to 8. This is insane. Like, this is so expensive for a character that has something else he wants to spend power on. So
correct.
There you go.
Well, let's talk about that thing you want to spend the power on. It is an active superpower. It is absorbed energy conversion. It will cost you 3 power. Choose an interactive terrain feature or an enemy character, both of size 4 or less, and within range 2. Throw it medium. It's a once per turn superpower. Yeah, you're going to want to try to use this every round if you can.
This is Bill Hulk's throw. Yep. I mean, best throw in the game, right?
And I mean, again, a mimicking of Cable, right?
For sure.
With a good throw.
Yeah, good throw, consistent
Cables
throw.
Cables is better.
Cables can't throw enemy models, but Cable correct. Has just full jurisdiction of what terrain he throws every turn, which he's going to throw a piece of terrain every turn because of that. So another point against Return with Interest, because earlier I was like, oh, I see a bunch of pushes, but it's like now I see a guaranteed throw. As control or guaranteed throws damage, right? I mean,
yep.
let's not forget that like Bishop is very threatening if you have a big character too, because he can either throw your big character away or he can throw your big character into your little characters to get guaranteed 5 save. A guaranteed 5 save is just, it is the highest damage threshold in this game at a baseline statistics, right? So he's got options.
Well, it's really nice to start having more of these pieces that can pull these big throws off against these big kaiju models that helpful. Really, I mean, it doesn't turn the tide or anything, but it does give you something to work with against them. And as you said, especially with all these Hulk models, because that's, it's a lot of damage incoming on your three threats every round, you know?
Everyone needs a size four throw if they can right now. And if they don't have a size four throw, let's say like a web warrior team or something, you got to have a plan why you don't, right? And so, I don't know, especially a fighting team. I think Bishop's going to want to go in some fighting teams. Really good. But let's talk about these innate superpowers real quick, Chris. Starting
the
with
first one's, yeah. This first one's really fun, but and this is the defensive tech I alluded to earlier. I love it. It's really great. It's just not enough to keep him alive all the time. I still think he's a pretty fragile character. But this one is mutant energy absorption. When Bishop is defending against an attack for each wild in the defense role, Bishop may change one of the attacker's wild, critical, or hit results to a blank. This Bishop gains one power for each die changed this way. Extremely high highs here.
Okay. One of my favorite abilities in the game, yeah. Mystic Armor of Supreme Strange.
Super, super awesome. But how many, you know, you can't count on that. It is a, you'll go entire games without rolling a wild on Bishop and your defense dice.
Yeah.
It will just happen.
Oh, okay? Absolutely.
You're going to go entire games of not seeing this mutant energy absorption trigger available for you.
Now, the irony of this is this gets way better if you have defensive dice buffs like Cable's Shield.
Like Cable? Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I hadn't
thought about that. Goodness. Crazy. Gracious.
Especially when you're rolling like six.
Energy defense is a much higher chance of finding some wilds. But, I mean, that also comes into play with Professor X, like I was thinking. Now we've got a power generation thing going on. Yeah. So I think there's some stuff here with all these new mutants. It's not an immediately clear picture. I'll put it that way. Anyway.
And we're going to figure it out. Yeah.
We are. Sorry.
We're going to return to it on our show. Yeah.
I am jumping ahead there. But mutant energy absorption.
I love it.
Super awesome. Super fun.
His best ability.
But it's. Don't count on it every time. It is cherry. It is cake. It is dessert. It is not your meat and potatoes.
Yeah. If you're new here and maybe you haven't played against a lot of Supreme Strange or anything. This is such a great ability, not only because of, you know, it's just better defenses, but I mean, you're blanking opponents' results in their Yahtzees they need. You're blanking opponents' wilds that they need to get their pierces and stuff.
Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy. So sometimes when you do get it, it nets more than one, right?
Yes.
Per one you do. And then on top of that, you get power from it, right? So it's also this kind of like, it's this machine that feeds itself. So, and you're going to have to ask yourself a lot of questions when you're attacking Bishop. And one of them is, should I even attack Bishop with my energy attackers?
Oh, yeah.
Probably not.
That is one of the first thresholds in this game, you know, to getting to a competitive level is knowing when you're better off, maybe just passing and not attacking into that model.
Absolutely. Now, Bishop has a huge weakness. And here it is, Chris.
Yeah.
Overload. It's innate. At the start of the power phase, if Bishop has 8 or more power, he suffers the damage. Now, I already mentioned he has some of the lowest health pool of a 4 threat, just being 11. So he has 2 glaring weaknesses. It's his health pool being lower and the fact that he can take damage at the start of the power phase after he's flipped over. So let's look at his backside. He's got 5 on the back. Well, now he might just have 4.
Yeah, that's pretty tough.
That is tough. But when he's got to have a weakness here with all this power generation.
Of course, he does. And it's just going to mean that you're going to need to be pretty careful about when you activate Bishop, which is not always easy because X-Men tend to have other characters that you need to be really careful about when you activate them as well. So we're putting together a puzzle here, and hopefully we can make it make some sense. And I say all this because he conveniently has an attack that can cost up to 8 power. So that is pretty nice. So if you're going with him late in the round, you can kind of mitigate this a little bit, especially if all their heavy hitters have kind of already gone. But it is dangerous flipping over to your injured side and then automatically being at 4 health if things did not go your way is pretty tough.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always going to be a huge weakness he has and something you got to keep an eye on and watch closely. But to give him a little bit more security with his power and his survival rate, he has 3 immunities.
And they're all good.
Incinerate, poison, and stun. So poison and stun, his power's not being affected through those means. So you have to get him with judgment or something.
Yep.
But then incinerate. Okay, so now his defenses are kind of set in stone. But I am still very scared he doesn't have damage reduction or anything like that. Not that he should Correct. Thematically, but I'm just talking from a game state, a gamification of it. So that's Bishop. I think he's great. I think, you know, X-Force is already in an amazing spot right now. And
yep,
he's slotting right in your X-Force. Time will tell with him in X-Men. I mean, not saying he's bad, because something notable and one of my favorite parts about him we haven't mentioned yet is he's a medium base, medium mover.
Oh, I think I said small base in the original.
Okay.
When we first started talking, so we can X-Men either
do not have a lot of these. They have Beast, yeah. And now they have Bishop, and now they're about to get Iceman. But up until Bishop and Iceman,
well, I think that medium base, medium move paired with an immunity to incinerate is a pretty big deal.
Yeah, for sure. We're also still scratching the surface of the new Storm leadership, but just yes. Getting more medium base is really helpful. And let's not forget, Colossus just got recently upgraded to a medium mover as well.
Correct.
So there's just. I say that because I think he's probably really good in Storm, because when his base hops, he gets more distance, you know, and he's also got that blaster. And
people get more distance off basing, off 100%. Hopping off him as well.
And he's got range attacks, right? So it's like, there's layers to it. So it's all good. I just, time will tell where he actually goes, because he is so fragile.
Yeah. I just, you know, the mutants, we've been painting with an incomplete picture for a while, you know, mm-hmm. And we're starting to get a little bit of fleshing out here. Like I said, I've said this off air many times, they've got a 10-year plan or whatever it is they said when they started this game. You better believe we're going to be getting some weird versions of these mutants before the end of this game.
I hope so. I can't wait.
I mean, I need Wizard Iceman.
Oh, yeah. That level threat of Iceman. Well, speaking of Iceman, I need
the wizard hat on a model is you just mostly
need
what
the,
I need.
You need, yeah. You need the model itself. I got it. Yeah. Okay. Not just Omega level Iceman, but.
No, he could be a two threat for all I care. If I get the wizard hat, I'm good.
Well, speaking of Iceman, let's talk about Iceman Bobby Drake. He is a three threat character. His defenses are 4 physical, 3 energy, 3 mystic. He has a stamina of 5 and a medium move with a medium base. And on his injured side, he has a stamina of 5, giving him 10. You know, he's a three threat, Chris, but he's fast. Yeah,
he better be.
It's Bobby. He better be fast. So let's get into his attacks. His first attack is an energy attack called Freezing Blast. It's Beam 3, Strength of 4, Power Cost of 0. After each attack is resolved, Iceman gains 1 power, and on a wild, you'll give them Slow. So what's cool about this is we did Human Torch this last year. This is like a Human Torch
yep.
gainer suite situation. So just if you want to frame it through that, frame it through the Human Torch lens. I mean, it's quite literally almost the same.
Except original Human Torch, everyone. Don't get too excited.
Yeah, don't get too excited, but we are getting Slow out of it this time.
I love Slow. It's absolutely crushing to many characters in this game. So Slow, good. Beam 3, good. I'm into it so far.
Let's move on. Beam 3 gainer is awesome, right?
Yes. It just such high potential there.
Yeah.
So let's move on to his next attack. It is also an energy attack. It is Chill. Range 3, strength of 7, power cost of 3. Here's the kicker. This is what you're paying for here. On a wild, you will trigger stagger. So all a wild enemy character is now staggered. That's huge.
Hopefully you have a reroll or something on this, right? Something to give that.
I think there's some ways to make that happen. Yeah. But yes, 7 dice, pretty decent chance of finding a wild in there. If you can throw some rerolls via affiliations or other means, you know, your Shuri's, your Invincible Iron Man's, maybe a character coming up later. You know,
it's cool.
It is very cool. And I think it's going to be pretty. I'm a big fan of this character. I'm a big fan of this.
He's solid.
This MCP character, let me say, not just Iceman, the comic book character. I think this is a really good three threat. Personally, I could be wrong. I've been wrong before.
No, I think he's really good too. Let's continue. Let's learn about his superpowers. He has an active superpower called Freeze and Fade, costs him 2. We'll take an action to do action. This character immediately makes an attack action followed by a move action. This character counts as size 5 during this move action. Superpower can only be used once per turn. This character has hit and run, which we love to see. We know how good it is on characters like Star-Lord. Bullseye comes to mind, right? But what's interesting about his is he's a medium-based medium mover, and he has flight for this moment, but he doesn't have flight on his card, so it is like a... It's a weakness of him not flying. I have a flight all the time, but they kind of got around it by giving him flight temporarily, which I still love.
I think it's an extremely elegant way to represent his ice slides. Yeah.
Yeah.
because he's not always sliding and flying, although he's depicted that way often. But in terms of the game, you know, it's hard to give him flight as well. So they gave him this, which
you're gonna do.
I don't know. I feel like you could use this pretty effectively to mess with line of sights and things like that as well.
Yeah, get in cover, right? Mm-hmm. If you need to. This is his main mode of play, is this action. You're gonna attack, freeze and fade somewhere, attack again in the place you end up where you wanna be, right? It is a lot of hit and run type fighting, which is what he needs because he's fragile.
Absolutely.
But continuing on, he has a reactive ability called Ice Slide, costs 2 power. During this character's activation, when it begins a move action within 2 of another allied character of size 2 or less, so keep in mind, could be during this freeze and fade, Iceman may use a superpower. After the move is resolved, place the allied character within 2 of its current position. The superpower can be used only once per turn. We love to see this ability. We love to see like Medusa, Sam Wilson, these type of characters, giving your characters movement. Bobby's is only size 2, which thematically makes sense, but just getting someone up the table. Nothing wrong with that.
Well, it's wonderful for some of your bigger characters that don't have action economy to just move them up the table. I mean, it's not going to work with She-Hulk, but obviously She-Hulk is the, with her special delivery, of the things that we see this with the most in the game right now. And that is just getting her up to the center line without having used any of her actions for the turn. Yeah. It's an absolutely massive boon for your play. Opens up the possibility of double attacking with attacks with your bigger attacking characters. So being able to ice slide, for instance, your Colossus up a little bit.
Yeah, just range 2.
Might save him having to move. It's good.
Yeah. No, it's really good. It's also really good mid-game and late-game to get models back on points, right?
Oh, yeah.
After they've just been displaced, right?
Yep. After a short push and whatnot, great way to, out of activation, reposition them to scoring. Yeah.
Yeah, just get them right back where they need to be or even set up a future turn. So it's solid. It's not something I think you're going to do all the time with him. I think you're always going to do freeze and fade with him, but if you can afford it, you're going to do it. Keep in mind, this character doesn't have a builder, only has a gainer. So we have perfect knowledge of what we can do, but we also are limited by what we can do because of that. He can, after the freeze and fade, he can beam and get that power back, right? Which is at the start of the freeze and fade and beam and get the power back. So I like it. But closing out his card, he has an innate ability, Cold Snap. When an enemy character ends a move action or attack action within 2 of this character, I also like the nuance that they added the attack action thing.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
Attacks give you little steps and movements, right? Of Iceman, they gain the slow special condition. If the enemy character already has the slow special condition, they suffer 1 damage instead. This is it.
This is good. This is very good. He is fragile, but if you force your opponent to attack into him, unless they spike and get rid of him in 1 go, they're going to have a bad time. They're going to now be slowed. They're probably going to have taken a damage, possibly 2. Hopefully they were slowed before they even got to you.
Have to kill him with range.
Have to.
Yeah. It's so cool that he just messes up melee characters.
It's great. We've needed more of this anti, you know, melee kind of stuff in the game for a while because right now, you know, it's just, we've seen attrition running wild in the competitive sphere and that shades the whole game for everyone, right? So being able to counterattack some of this aggression with some defensive tech, some control tech, I think it's great for the game.
Oh, I absolutely agree. The irony is that he just gets blown up by those teams. So it is going to be very nuanced play. Like Chris said earlier, it's going to be a lot of line of sight blocking with Bobby and stuff, right? You're just going to have to do it that way
and
keep him alive.
And just picking and choosing your spots.
Yep. He's similar to Human Torch.
Yeah. I think he's probably a lot better on spread maps.
Yeah.
Just because he'll have more room to move.
And he's fast. Yeah.
Very fast.
That's him. It's pretty simple. Slots right in those Web Warrior teams under Amazing Peter. Absolutely amazing. Where he
sure does.
You're just doing it right out the gate. And I'm sure he's going to have a lot of other places to arrive because he's got so much utility. He's such a great flex piece. He's not a piece you're going to play every matchup, every objective spread, right? But man, when he works, he works.
I'm going to say I like him in wide A-Force quite a bit.
I do too. I think that totally works.
The repositioning that he offers, he's not going to be starved for power. And A-Force is one of the most bodyguard-laden teams that we've got right now. So it's going to keep Bobby protected to ensure that he is annoying your opponent way into the later stages of the game.
Oh, man. I love it. Absolutely. Well, we got to close out with our final character today, Chris, before we get into tactics cards. And we've been waiting on this one. This was the last one that was revealed.
A controversial reveal.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some folks are a little, got some feels about what they expected and what they got.
Yeah, I could see that. I think he fits right in this 92 era quite well. Professor X.
Well, yeah. I mean, I agree with you 100%. I have enough faith in AMG that I trust them with this stuff at this point. They're not a perfect company by any means, but they've always seemed to try to do the right thing. And I think this Professor X is going to be just fine.
I agree. So let's talk about him. Professor X, Charles Xavier, he is a 4 threat model. His defenses are 2 physical, 2 energy, and 6 mystic. His stamina is 6 on his healthy side, and he's a medium move, medium base. And on his injured side, he has 5 stamina, taking him up to a total of 11. Of course, he's size 2. What do you think, Chris?
Well, I think that anytime we've dealt with these mystic characters, we've always got something weird going on with their defense, right? So I know that I'm an inch in something weird is in store for me with the 6 mystic and the 2 energy, 2 physical. I am a little worried about only 11 health, though.
Agreed. It's interesting that he's like, his stats are very similar to Cassandra Nova, which, you know, come on, the theme is right.
We said to kind of expect that.
But her mystic is only 4, but her energy is 3. And she has a little bit more stamina, but she is a 5 threat. So I like how they just move stuff around a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's very, very similar. Let's get into his attacks, because he does have 3. And they're all mystic. His first attack is a mystic attack called Psychic Dart. Range 4, strength of 5, power cost of 0. Very cool. After the attack is resolved, Professor X gains power equal to damage dealt. And on a wild, you will trigger Root. Once again, similarities with Cassandra Nova. Root is hard to come by. It's hard to come by. Range 4 builder attack. Great, Chris. Absolutely great. Let's keep going with his other attacks, and then we'll talk about him as a whole. His second attack is Mental Suggestion. Range 3, strength of 6, power cost of 1. Excellent. After the attack is resolved, if you dealt 1 damage, you may advance the target character its speed. So this is a downgraded version of Cassandra Nova's best attack, which is hers is she just advances you.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
But his is deal some damage. Get to advance them, an amazing control tool. And his last and biggest spender attack, per se, is his Astral Duel, also mystic, also range 3, strength of 4, power cost of 3. Add attack dice equal to the target's mystic defense, and the target character cannot reroll or modify defense dice during this attack. So if you're a mystic person, he's coming for you with this attack.
Seems like an anti-mystic tool in a nice little 4 threat here.
Right.
I'm sorry, Convo.
Convo just keeps taking hits.
They like, do, every man. Day.
Like
catching strays all the time.
Catching strays. High representation of energy attacks in the game right now, which they just completely melt to. High representation of throws in the game. They absolutely melt to. And then now we've got mystic hunters like Charles here. Like he's saying, no, goodness. I'm the best mystic fighter.
Wild, man. I can think of some things that need hunting more than convocation, but you know, we'll just see how things take shape over the coming months. This is a pretty cool attack. His whole attack suite is pretty cool. It is just littered. It's littered with tools for situations and hard to come by in terms of MCP, you know, kind of powers with the advance, the character's target speed, root on a wild, dice equal to the mystic defense. These are all things we do not see a whole lot. I don't know. Got a lot of rare stuff on here.
I agree. I like the second one the most, Mental Suggestion. But just because we get to advance a model, like it's very scary because he can like not consistently, fairly actively win points and mind control big models away from the fight, right? Which is, you love to see it. You just love to see it.
You do love to see it. It's mental suggesting someone, like say an Angela away long, is just going to feel so good.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get into his superpowers. But before we get into his superpowers, let's get into his affiliation. That's right. We have a third Uncanny X-Men leadership.
That's great.
Xavier's School for Gifted Youngsters. Once per turn, when an allied character spends one or more power to use an active or reactive superpower, after that effect is resolved, another allied character may gain one power. So, yes, Chris, we've kind of mixed Steve and She-Hulk together.
We did it.
We did it.
Congrats. So,
I think this is solid. Time will tell how good it actually is. You are in control of it, which I like.
Yes.
You're not in control of Scott's, because Scott's, you have to deal damage. And then, you know, like Steve, you're just always in control, right? But in even A-Force, like, your opponent has to attack, but, you know, they have to attack in this game to, like, do stuff typically.
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah. And so, and also, A-Force is maybe a little bit better in some ways, because this is like, I'm spending power to use superpowers, and then someone else is getting a benefit. So I've got to have power to spend superpowers.
Correct.
Based on what my superpowers cost. So layers of what you need to do.
Right. With A-Force, it's just, you have your health resource, and as that depletes, you get more power resource. So
yeah,
it's different. I think there are ways to juice each one of these, you know, ramp leaderships. And this one is no different. I can, you know, got your back. Things like OG Sabretooth's attack out of activation, you know, all Cable's adding dice to your allied defense totals rolled, is all of these things, cool reactive powers that you could be getting use of these out of activation for this affiliation.
Yeah, so, you're saying, like, you're setting up, if I use Cable Shield during your turn when you're attacking me, I can start thinking of what's my next activation going to be and setting that up.
Correct. And
it's like,
and
now just, I gave Logan one more power, right?
Well, you're, and then you'll get a power when Logan activates and you use his charge, right?
Yep. Put it back towards Cable's shield or something.
Right. It's a lot like when people were juicing the original X-Force leadership with a bunch of got your backs so that you could get more use, get more roles out of the X-Force. So if you're doing these out of activation reactive superpowers, you're getting more power from the leadership.
I agree. Yeah. It's, you've got to have characters that can spin superpowers, right? So,
and you have to have superpowers that can be activated every turn.
That's tough, right?
That's tough.
Absolutely tough. And what's interesting is, I think this just gets better the higher threat X-Men you go, right? But what's interesting is, like, you just mentioned superpowers during your turn. Well, maybe immediately you don't consider, like, Domino or X-23 and an Xavier team, right? Because they've got stuff that's, like, reactive, or they just don't do superpowers much in general. They do attacks, correct, right? So you've got different lenses to look at through that, for sure. And I think it's very interesting, and we'll see how this goes. Also, I think it's a theme whim, Chris, because I'm a big theme guy. You guys know I'm a big flavor guy, and I always try to figure out the designer's intentions of abilities and affiliations. And this one makes, it just sounds like it is like Charles with his whole school, and everybody's, like, working together, learning what they learned, you know what I mean, from class, from working as a team. And someone else is getting juice because someone else did something and they saw it happen. And it's actually very evocative of the 90s X-Men through that lens, which I absolutely love. Just kind of how Storm's hop is her using the weather to position people up the board, right? Also originally giving them cover, but now it's defense dice because of the weather as well. So I think that's fun too, to talk about the theme. But yeah, this is never going to be bad, right? But you do have to build certain X-Men teams around this.
Which, we have three different uncanny X-Men leaderships.
That's right.
All three of these leaderships are screaming for very different play styles.
That's the tough part.
It's tough, and it's good.
It's very good. It's very good.
It is a good problem to have, I do believe. But yes, it is a hard puzzle to figure out. Mm. And like I said earlier, I don't think we're painting with a full picture yet.
Absolutely not. Especially when we get more mutants in the future. Well, let's talk about Charles's number one way to spend power, I think. Reactive. Professor's Guidance costs X power. While another allied character within range 4 is attacking or defending during the modified dice step of this attack, Charles may spend up to 1 to 3 power to use his superpower. For each power spent, the attacking or defending character may reroll one of its dice. The superpower can be used only once per turn. All right, X-Men have a Shuri now.
Very nice.
Yeah, that's...
This is great, and it's also... This is kind of what I was expecting.
Yeah.
I thought he'd have some kind of mechanic like this. And it makes me wonder, do I now need to think about Charles for my X-Force?
Yeah, for sure. Like, that's definitely worth considering, right? Just to make those dice come online. It's also super cool that if you really wanted to, Charles could jump in some other non-mutant teams like Gunlines. And like,
yes,
he could provide them some mystic variability, which they don't have. And he can also provide them rerolls for their team. Yeah. I mean, we just saw this on the new Iron Man. It's great on him. And to see this now on a different character in this role, very good. But let's talk about his two final innates before we talk about Charles as a whole. Innate telepathic lock. When an enemy character targets Professor X with an attack, Professor X may use his mystic defense regardless of the attack type, unless the attacker pays two power. So once again, we're in Ebony Maw Mysterio range here.
The good old attack tax.
Love to see it.
It's not annoying unless it is. And when it is, it really is annoying.
Right, because then you're like, oh no, what have I done, you know?
Yep.
And closing out his card, he has Omega level telepath. This character cannot be pushed or advanced by the effects of mystic attacks or enemy superpowers. Always a great ability.
It is wonderful. He can still be thrown or placed.
Not good for him being thrown.
Being thrown is very not good for this young man.
Also, throwing into him is so bad. Like something being thrown into him.
He's rolling two dice.
Against a whatever auto save.
Against the four automatic damage coming in from a size three terrain. They're everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough.
So that's Charles's card. Obviously, we're going to talk tactics cards in a minute where I think a lot of his kit's going to come online. But yeah, honestly, a pure support leader for X-Men is super interesting, right?
I think it's very interesting. I am very excited about it. I think Nightcrawler does really exceptionally well with this leadership.
I could see that totally, yeah.
Well, he's going to be popping around all over the place.
Dampen everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I also got a shout out. I love that Charles is in his classic chair and in the green suit. Green suit especially. I know he's had many suits over the years, but clearly this is the era that AMG chose. And it's that
iconic
cartoon look.
It's the same era, like we've said in this very program, it's the same era for most of the mutants. There are some that don't fit because they came out later or they chose a more iconic role, or maybe they hadn't cemented this idea in quite as well yet. But yeah, I really like how they're doing this. I expect future waves to be very interesting and clearly from a different time frame.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. So yeah, I think he's a great character. We'll see where he goes, Chris, in the future, but I'm very happy that he actually ended up being four threat because he's got some really big strengths and weaknesses. And I like that personally.
I'm very happy that he's a four threat simply because we're going to be able to use him where we want more easily.
Often, right?
A lot of the times it's very easy to say he should be a five, he should be a six threat. And while I partially agree with that statement, I think for game wise, this is very good. A lot less investment to be able to use such an iconic character, a lot less investment of thought, of time, needing a full roster, needing more models because maybe models you don't have. It just because he's a sixth threat and he requires this, and that's the only way to win with him as a sixth threat. You know, I think this is a good way to take it.
We'll get Dark Phoenix one day.
We're going to get...
Just wait,
people. We'll get a sixth threat or a five threat Professor X eventually too, you know?
Maybe. Yeah, I can totally see that. Well, Chris, let's talk about Professor X's first card if you want to guide us through that because...
All right,
let's talk... some cards, right, that you can play.
Let's talk about Mind Wipe. This is an Uncanny X-Men reactive card. When another allied character is dazed or KO'd by an enemy attack or superpower, Professor X may spend three power to play this card. Professor X immediately makes the attack shown above, targeting the enemy character that made the attack. All right. Set attack. It is a mystic attack. It is called Enough. Range? Not listed. There is no range. It just happens.
Global.
Power cost of zero, strength of three. This attack ignores range and line of sight. The target of this attack cannot be changed. So no bodyguards, no
taunts,
no nothing. Add dice to this attack equal to the damage dealt to the dazed or KO'd allied character. This is anti-spike tech.
It's so cool.
It's very cool. One more clause. If this attack deals damage after the attack is resolved, the target character gains an activated token. If the target character If the target character is active, its activation immediately ends.
Right. So if this was like, say, their first action of the turn, killing one of your allies.
And turn over. This. Immediately. No superpowers, no tactics cards, turns over. If they say, got your back and spike one of your models out, they just don't get to go this round.
Yeah, you got to be careful too. There are fringe superpowers that can kill models without taking actions, right? Like think of like
throws,
or think of like Juggernaut sliding into you, mm-hmm. right? And then it's like, okay, that was only one damage. So the chance of getting this on Juggernaut is low, right? From the slide, but still, that's a fringe situation where this could happen. But I think obviously the most obvious version of this, Chris, is a big character does a big attack, that removes one of your models, does 4 or 5 damage to them, and then you throw 7, 8 dice back at them with Charles and stop their turn mid-activation. It's really about the activation token. That's all this is about. It's huge.
This is what? Anti-Cosmic Ghost Rider? If his first attack gets any damage through, you just get to end his turn. You don't necessarily need to wait for the big spike to hope for spike into them as well. You can just end their turn.
Yeah. The problem is it has contingencies where it's like your ally has to be killed.
Yes.
So your opponent could, they can be smart about it, right?
There are ways to play around this card.
They can make sure to get the kill as their second action, for instance. Correct. Right? And then you don't use it. Unless you just want damage on that character with Charles, right? Which you could totally do, especially if they're weak to Mystic, right? So theme, incredible. Global attack, incredible. I like that it's just Charles has this global got your back, right? At the end of the day, even if he didn't get the activated token, he's got a global got your back. That's cool.
It's really cool. It's very thematic, like you said. It just fits. It makes sense. And it's a nice, really nice tool to kind of show his power level. You know, maybe that's true. 4 threats getting to you. This tactics card is extremely powerful.
Well, speaking of powerful tactics cards, let's talk about one more card that Charles can absolutely use, Cerebro.
Ooh.
Uncanny X-Men and active. So once again, you have to be X-Men again. During its activation, an uncanny X-Men character with at least 1 Mystic attack and at least 5 Mystic defense may play this card. So at the moment, it's only Charles, Jean, and Emma.
And that will change eventually for sure. But right now, there are 3 characters eligible to use this card.
Which is already great, in my opinion, that we have 3 right out the gate.
Yeah.
For the rest of the round, the character that played this card increases the range of its Mystic attacks by 1 to a max range of 5, adds 1 dice to its Mystic attacks, add 1 dice to its Mystic defense rolls. Additionally, this character's attacks do not require line of sight and ignore stealth superpower for the rest of this round. If you're playing Charles, I think this isn't an auto take in your 5, but this is an auto take in your 10. And if you're playing Jean and Emma, you're absolutely considering this. Because at the end of the day, Chris, I mean, this is just catch a character running away, right? With an extract. Forget the whole like buffing yourself for the round. Just be able to see that Black Cat, right? Is great.
Yeah.
See that Miles, right? As they win the game with the extract they just took from you or something, right? So
correct.
I think this is a great card. And I love just the flavor too of you're hooking into Cerebo. And your Mystic attacks and defense are just getting better for the round two, for the whole round.
Ignoring stealth.
That's the best
part. Ignoring cover.
Line
that's
sight.
So awesome, man. Like, that's so awesome. That rocks.
I think this is so cool. And once again, AMG knocking these themes out of the park. I mean, this is... You're hooking in Cerebro.
They capture theme incredibly well.
Because keep in mind, if anyone is upset about Charles being a 4 threat, this is Charles not necessarily hooked in Cerebro. I mean, you're hooked in Cerebro when you use this card, but it's like hits him on the battlefield. Right? So We know in the lore and in the canon, which we'll talk about in our episode coming this year, Charles is very powerful without Cerebro, but he's on a whole nother level with Cerebro, right? He is full Omega level.
Yeah. And I think in 92.
In 92 especially.
He's in this era, he's not as powerful as he becomes shortly after this era. It doesn't take long. But yeah, I think this is a great representation of the snapshot they chose.
Perfect. 2 amazing cards. You're going to want to try them with more. Charles. We've got more. Oh, we've absolutely got more. And let's get into those now, Chris, because let's hear about some more mutant-centric.
All right. Let's start with let's keep it Charles.
Absolutely.
Xavier's Dream. This is an uncanny X-Men reactive card. When an allied character would suffer damage, any number of other allied characters may each spend one power to play this card. For each power spent to play this card, reduce the amount of damage the allied character would suffer by one. Obviously, this card
in the set
is so awesome, and it's even better the wider your team is.
Absolutely. It is just... This is a game changer for X-Men. You're so fragile.
You're five wide. Somebody just gets spiked for six. No, they only took two. Sorry. You didn't get rid of them. They're just fine.
I think this card is incredible. I think it's going to be a staple of X-Men going forward this year.
Yes.
And I think it's one of those cards, too, where you're like, the type of X-Men I like to run is like fairly defensive. And this is one more defensive tool in my belt. And now it's like, I have Sacrifice. I have Brace. I have Xavier's Dream. I have Exceptional Healing.
I was going to say, this is kind of a mini Exceptional Healing, right?
Better in some ways?
In some ways.
In fringe ways. In the sense that it's global, not tied to only healing factor.
Correct.
And a little bit more of an auto take, because let's say there are games you're not playing Laura or Logan, right? Which do happen.
Used to never happen.
But you're taking that card now, right? You're taking this card over... And what's cool is it can replace Exceptional Healing too. Let's say you're running one healing factor character and you're like, you know what? I'm only running one healing factor character. Maybe I just bring Xavier's Dream and it covers more bases because I only have five card slots, right? So I think it's absolutely amazing. I think it's going to be the winner card of this group for X-Men players because X-Men is so fragile right now, especially after we lost Storm's cover.
Yeah.
And so this is a great tool in our tool belt.
All right, let's move on to the next one. Untapped Potential, unaffiliated and active. If it is Iceman's activation, Emma Frost may play this card. All right, we're already very limited. We have to have two characters here.
Yes.
During this activation, superpowers and attacks used by Iceman may spend power from either Iceman or Emma Frost. Attacks made by Iceman this activation add one die to their attack rolls. Additionally, during this activation, Iceman may use superpowers on his stat card any number of times, even if they say they can only be used once per turn.
Very cool.
This is extremely cool. I don't know how useful it is. I don't know how many teams are going to be built around Iceman and Emma Frost, but I will say lore-wise, this is absolutely on point.
Yeah.
We will get to that in their episodes, but trust me, Emma Frost knows things about Iceman that no one else does. And his potential is one of those things.
Man.
So this card is representing that interaction, that major character defining interaction they've had before. And I think that's wonderful. AMG is very good about giving us cards that capture these kind of things. So well done there. I think this is a very good card if you're going to be using Iceman and Emma. I just don't see that happening a ton.
I agree.
Unaffiliated, so it is able to be used in Hellfire. So
absolutely. That's the biggest shout, I think. And maybe we'll have a future in this game where we have more of an attrition-based Hellfire. Not at the moment, but maybe this slots right in that team where it's like Iceman's getting to do a bunch of bigger beams. He's getting to do his hit and run twice, right?
I think those could still all be used as control features, though, given that his beam hands out slows, you know, him being able to use that hit and run that count gives him flight, essentially.
Twice.
Yeah. These are good things. But like
I said,
it gives
him one super turn, which is awesome, where he gets to...
An ulti. Yeah, double it's his
move.
Ulti.
Yeah, it's his ulti. He gets a double move and double beam.
Pretty good.
That's pretty good.
He could also place people a lot if he's powered up. But that's... Once again, these are all very, very... Nothing has gone wrong. Everything has gone my way. Best case scenario. You'll have to actually try to engineer these more than you will just run into them. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Fun card, maybe not a competitive card.
Well, let's continue with the fun cards here and more named character cards, Chris, starting with Hold Still. It's unaffiliated and an active action. So you can play this on any team that Shadowcat's on, but you will take an action to play this card, which is quite possibly our first in the game that we've seen that has the action board printed on it. Other ones have said you can perform this attack, and then they'll explain whether the attack is an action or free. But this one's, you are taking an action playing this card. So interesting. Shadowcat may spend 3 power to play this card. Choose an enemy character within 3 of Shadowcat. Place Shadowcat within 1 of the chosen enemy character. Shadowcat now makes the attack shown above on the chosen character. Phase Disruption, it is a range 1 attack. Good news, you're already range 1. Strength of 6, power cost is 0. Got some cool wild triggers. First one is one wild, Chris, nerve damage. Before damage is dealt, the target character drops all objective tokens it is holding. Two wilds you're going to get after the attack is resolved, place the target character within one of this character. So Shadowcat got a steal?
Shadowcat got a steal. Shadowcat got a place.
And a place of the enemy, potentially.
Yeah, so this could be massive, right?
This is cool.
This is very cool. This is a teleport to the objective, the extract holder that is sitting on a back point. It is hope. Now, we're hoping for two wilds within 6 dice. That's pretty tough.
Yeah.
But if you get them, they are now dropping their extract. You're going to pick it up. You're now going to place them within 1. Hopefully, that's going to get them off the point. This is a major victory point swing if it works out properly. If you use this at the beginning of your turn, you've still got an action and some superpowers to play with. So
to move away, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe. Just depends on how the attack goes, right?
But I like it. Yeah.
You've got options. I think it's good. I think it's worth being tried to see if it can work, see if it's worth being in your 5 on a competitive level. But I think it's got a little bit of juice. I really do.
I do too. And it's cool to see kind of like a Black Cat Rhino robbery thing for X-Men, right? And just in general, because they don't have it. But closing out, the last card of this set, Faithful Companion, it's unaffiliated and reactive. When an allied Shadowcat or magic is dealt damage by an enemy attack or superpower, after the effect is resolved, she may play this card. The chosen character that played this card immediately makes the attack shown above, targeting the enemy character that dealt damage. So we get Guardian Dragon, range unlimited. Yeah,
this is our representation of Lockheed in game.
Yeah, because we've already got... This is his ulti, right?
We
got his attack on her card.
And I love that we have his attack on her card, but I love that Magic is able to play this too.
I agree.
Because, Lockheed's close with Magic too.
It's pretty cool. So Guardian Dragon, range of line through it, nothing.
That's two globals today. Wow, this is wild, dude.
Strength of 5, power cost of 0. The attack ignores range and line of sight. And on a wild, you're going to get incinerate. Now, this is only 5 dice, but it is a global got your back with 5 dice that can give incinerate. What's not to love? I definitely think it's a card that, like, tons of fun. We'll see how much it comes into competitive play. But I mean, if you got magic another attack, and shadow attack, yeah, in your list.
It doesn't require power to play.
And it doesn't require X-Men.
Correct. Yeah. It's
so you could have like magic and shadow cat and combo, right?
100%. And I think you should think about doing that.
Yeah, so it's cool. Probably the weakest of this bunch, but some of the best art of this bunch. Man, I love it.
The art is very good.
Yeah, I mean, we got Lockheed just on defense here, shooting the fire. I love it, but do not hurt his friends, is what he's saying.
No.
And Lockheed's a pet Avenger, so don't mess with him.
Not one. Lockheed is the best Avenger. That's just how it is.
Oh, very exciting, Chris. So that's all of our cards today. Of course, we've covered Shadow King on a previous episode, and we're going to cover him again soon in the future.
Oh yeah.
And back to Nightcrawler, and I'm very happy that we stayed off Nightcrawler. We did a good job, Chris, because we're both very excited about him.
I mentioned him once with Professor X's.
We mentioned him,
but we did good
and cannot wait for his episode. But yeah, it's fun to return to the news. It's fun to talk mutants. There's a lot of untapped potential here, quite literally, and there's a lot of
puzzles to be unraveled.
Yeah, there's a lot to figure out here. I think just right out the gate, Bishop's going to make the biggest splash, and I think that's fine.
Do you think he's the long-term winner here? Do you think he's the one we see the most? Or do you think he gets phased out by another four threat that comes out?
I think if we can keep him alive, yeah, he stays around the most. But that requires puzzles. That requires work. That requires maybe Colossus, right? That requires...
Maybe more.
Yeah. Right.
So Honey Badger is always good for that kind of stuff too.
Oh man, 2 more X-Force characters. Sorry, X-Force just is having a moment right now. It's okay.
Well, we're just reviled for so long. It's okay like they're oppressively good. They're just now actually competitive.
Yeah, they're one of the best attrition teams of the game though, which is a very good spot to be, which very really fun. Should be. And I like that, like, now Bishop can push out 4 threats they might have been splashing.
Right. Bill might not be required anymore.
I don't think so. I think you just play Bishop and go to town. And let's also not forget, X-Force also has Sneaky Sis. And that gets around on a business.
That helps Bishop a lot.
That helps him a lot. So I'm looking forward to that. Now, Iceman, probably slotting right into our Web Warriors like we talked about. And then Charles, we're going to start trying with Charles and X-Men, see what he does, right? And see how it works.
Yeah.
See this new era of X-Men, what it looks like. I think we already said our piece about Shadowcat and Nightcrawler. Yep. I think they're really good and we're going to see them in so many places. So yeah, we got a lot to test, a lot to have fun with. And we're going to cover it here on the show for you guys and do that very thing. And obviously Chris and I love mutants. So, I mean, it's not going to be hard to do for us, you know?
No, it's going to be a lot of fun. We've got a lot of big lore heavy hitters coming up. So it's going to be an interesting time.
Oh, absolutely. And a lot of all these models are coming out for Adepticon. So I guess we might learn a lot quickly.
I've got to reevaluate my teams, don't I?
Absolutely. Yeah. Get some testing in.
Exciting.
Yeah. Get some painting. So, well, we hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. It's been really fun. We got to tell the place you can find us online. So Furious Finest is supported by you, the listener, our wonderful patrons. You become a Furious Finest patron by going to patreon.com/furiousfinest. Of course, if you want to support us by following us on social media, that would help a lot. Follow the show on X, Furious Finest Cast, Instagram, and Facebook at Furious Finest. And you can email us at furiousfinest@gmail.com and leave us reviews on your podcast platform of choice. It really helps us out a lot. You guys continue to show up on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and it means a lot.
It's awesome, and it's constantly humbling. We absolutely just adore you guys for it. Thanks to Approaching Nirvana for the show's music. And like Jesse said, help spread the word, rate, review, subscribe, get more people listening to MCP content, all good things.
Absolutely. You can find me in Chris several spaces online if you want to engage with us. You can find me, Jesse, at all the same place, at Jesse Aiken. That's JESSEAKIN. You can find me on X, Instagram, Discord, Longshanks. And check out my Star Wars Shatterpoint show, Hello There, a Star Wars Shatterpoint podcast, everywhere podcasts can be found. And a lot of Star Wars this year as well, because AMG is back in full swing. Chris, where can everyone find you?
You can find me on Discord. I am Strong Style on there. Chris Finest in all the MCP Discords that I'm in. Feel free to message me. I am not always good at participating in good and big group Discord discussions. I'm actually very bad at it. So I'm very serious. My DMs are open. I would love to talk to you. And that's for listeners, other content creators, whatever. I don't care. I like talking MCP. You can check me out on Orange Futures, an NBA podcast where I make dumb jokes about the NBA.
Awesome. Well, you guys should do it. Until the next news update. Thanks for listening, true believers.
Excelsior.
The world has gotten even stranger than you already know.
At this point, I doubt anything would surprise me.
$10 says you're wrong. We'll be right back.